we're looking again today into our teaching into submission and authority. And last week we talked about and used the scriptures dealing over in Romans and in Hebrews that were spoken about concerning our dealing with authorities, dealing with authorities over us, whether kings, rulers, whatever they are, people in authority over us. And we talked about submission and how we submit to things about submitting to them. And I said last week we're going to look at some examples in Scripture of dealing with leaders. Because sometimes people get over in the areas of dealing with leaders that they take, you could go to submission to the point of an extreme. And we're, one of the things that we want to look at, and I talked about last week, is we have levels of authority that we all deal with all the time. You know, you go to work for a person, they may have an authority over you. I used the example like working at Reese's, where you had an authority over you in Reese's that you worked for, but the government also made regulations and things, and they have an authority over Reese's in areas about what they're allowed to do in producing stuff and doing things. So there is an upper authority. It's just like you'll find within our legal system. You know, somebody may go to trial and you know, whether the outcome of the trial may be, and they will turn around and submit their, you know, if they don't like the outcome of it, they may submit it to a higher court and say, hey, to the higher court. Why? Because there's a higher authority. And so it isn't that they're being disobedient to that one. They have a right. If they have a right to do that, they're just operating to another authority. That's a legal thing to do. It was set up by the authorities to do that. So they're not rebelling against authority to do that. And now we know that people misuse and abuse, and you'll have that. There's no system where you won't find people abuse things, and don't. It's always going to be there, you know. But it's the conduct that we have or how we do things. And so we're looking at these things. We talked about, you know, and we ended last week and made the mention about David and Saul and how David, using the example of David, Saul was out to kill David, but David wouldn't kill Saul. David wouldn't do that. He said, you know, God put him in his position. In other words, God's going to have to deal with this guy on this thing, and he wouldn't touch him from that standpoint. It did not mean that he agreed with him. Surely he didn't. Saul would be chasing him around. He was doing everything Saul liked. But David was not in rebellion against authority. In fact, David was in submission to Saul, and Saul was the one that was in rebellion. And really, where Saul's rebellion, whole rebellion started, his rebellion against God. He rebelled against God and ended up to being a misfit and just caused himself all kind of trouble. Why? Because he wouldn't submit to a higher authority, and he wouldn't pay attention to higher authorities, and he did his own thing. I mean, he was Samuel. Samuel told him that he was going to come at a certain time and offer a sacrifice. And for a reason that Samuel was withheld for a little while, but Samuel got there a little late. Well, he took over, and what he did is he stepped into a place of authority. It wasn't his. He offered the sacrifice. He wasn't the guy in charge to do that. So he was a guy who turned around and really subverted authority by trying to act like he was a guy that he could go ahead and do that. Well, God didn't like that number. He stepped outside of the bounds of being authority, is him being a king. He was not the guy before God to be offering sacrifices. He wasn't the guy supposed to be doing that. Well, he rebelled against God then. And then he turned around and rebelled again. God told him specifically what to do with Agag, the one king, and his people. He was supposed to kill them all. He didn't do it. And through his rebellion, he wouldn't submit to authority. He would end up submitting to people or to himself or something or other, but he didn't obey, and it ended up costing him. And that was his whole problem with David, was the fact of his rebellion, and he lost his anointing. And his rebellion, he just ended up following that and ended up hating anybody that God was using. And sometimes that happens with people. You know, that's why people do the things that they do, is they head themselves in a direction. And so, but David said, hey, God's going to have to deal with him, and it isn't up to me to kill him. It's not up to me to take care of that. God's going to have to remove him from office. In other words, David wasn't going to push his way into an office, even though God said that he anointed him as king. Even though he was called to be that, he was not going to take that position until God put him in it. Boy, that tells a lesson people need to learn today, because many people are trying to get into a position because of a calling. you know, you let God put you in the position. You don't go because just because you're called, you don't have to force yourself into a position. One of the things that Keith Moore said about in that area, he talked about that. He said, don't look at men and say, they're hindering me. He said, if God wants you to be somewhere or to do something, he'll get you there. That's his. He's the one that called you to it. He has to get you to it. To push yourself into a position really gets over in the areas that definitely is not submission. And this is what many people try to do God's work. Brother Hagin used to say to us, and he said it, and I heard him on tapes I had of him, but also he used to tell in Bible school, if you have a calling, if you have an anointing from God, God will open the doors for you. He'll get them open. It's not you. Don't have to open the doors. He says, if you got a gift, he said, somebody's going to know it. Nobody knows it. He said, there's a good chance you ain't got one. But there's many people get into positions that aren't really gifted to be in them because they push their way into it. They do manipulate, do all kinds of things, get into position. But it's not a good thing to do. Now, judgment fell quickly on things of Saul concerning the anointing and that stuff. Today, maybe it don't fall as quickly, but it'll eventually fall. Sometimes wonder why people wonder why, you know, about things, about people. And Kenneth Hagin's disobedience, one time the Lord told him if he'd let him go on what direction he was going, he wouldn't have lived beyond 55 years old. Well, in other words, I mean, eventually it was going to catch up with him. He wouldn't have lived past being 55 years old. Well, it was a good thing he got over and got into obedience. And that there is lack of submission to God in that area. But I want to look at leaders. I want you to go to the book of Acts. We're going to see, in dealing with leadership, we'll have some examples from Scripture that will help us understand what to do or sometimes what not to do. In Acts, the 23rd chapter, we're going to look at the Apostle Paul, who was going to be put on trial. And dealing with authorities, here we see in Paul's conduct, and we can see some things about the Apostle Paul. In Acts, the 23rd chapter, in the first verse says, then Paul, looking earnestly at the council, said, men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. And the high priest, Ananias, commanded those who stood by him to strike him on the mouth. Then Paul said to him, God will strike you, whitewashed wall, for you sit to judge me according to the law, and do not, and do you command me to be struck contrary to law? And those who stood by, do you revile God's high priest? Then Paul said, I did not know, brethren, that it was the high priest, for it's written, you shall not speak evil of a ruler of your people. Well, see, Paul made a statement here. Now look what Paul does. Now, the high priest did wrong. He should never have done that. He broke the law. But Paul didn't justify the wrongdoing of the high priest to justify what he did. So, when Paul, in other words here, said, you know, Paul said, yeah, you know, it says I shouldn't do that. And so, even though they did a thing contrary to law, the apostle Paul didn't, we can see, is his submission. And really, what his submission was to that authority was the fact of what the Scripture had said that he wasn't supposed to do. You're not supposed to speak evil of your ruler. Now, even though the ruler did evil, that doesn't give us a right to speak evil of them. Because we're going to find out as we go along in this thing, we're going to look at different circumstances and different cases that look different. The Apostle Paul did something where he spoke out of line and said something that he should not have said to that ruler because of the position. He didn't know he was speaking to someone in that position. He thought somebody was just doing this. Now, we're going to find out the same thing. We go over to Jesus. We're going to find out Jesus speaking to an individual who really didn't have the authority to do what he did. And we're going to look at Jesus as what he did. And then we'll go over to John, the Gospel of John, to the 18th chapter. We want to look at these. This is John, the 18th chapter. And this is Jesus at the time. He's coming up to his crucifixion, but he was taken before the high priest. And so in verse 19, we're going to break at verse 19. It says, the high priest then asked Jesus about his disciples and his doctrine. Jesus answered him, I spoke openly to the world. I always taught in synagogues and in the temple where the Jews always meet, and in secret I have said nothing. Why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard me what I said to them. Indeed, they know what I said. And when he had said these things, one of the officers who stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, "Do you answer the high priest like that?" Well, Jesus answered him, "If I've spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why do you strike me?" So in other words, Jesus answers him, hold it. The high priest didn't say do this. This guy didn't have the authority to do what he did and was out of line. And Jesus tells him about it. Jesus spoke to him. Jesus was not in rebellion against the authority. Jesus spoke truthfully to the authority and with respect. He said, they were asking him questions. He said, well, look, don't just ask me, ask the people where I spoke at. You know, ask them what I said. In other words, I could, you know, say, they'll witness of what I said. You know, I've spoken open to everybody. This guy didn't like it and smacked him, but he didn't have the authority to do that. And he did it. And so Jesus' answer to him was different than Paul was, but he is speaking, really telling this guy, you don't have authority to be doing this. What authority? You don't have authority to hit me because I didn't speak against anybody. I didn't say nothing. Now, under Paul's circumstances, Paul made a derogatory statement. Now, Paul did it in ignorance, not knowing who he was talking to, but Paul still turned and said, yeah, it says don't do that. I shouldn't have done that, okay? Paul didn't try to justify himself. Jesus here didn't have to do any justification of himself because he had done nothing wrong, and he was unjustly hit, and he just told him he was. And so, really, that doesn't mean, see, we have the things of, well, you don't ever say, some Christian, well, you just don't ever say anything. Well, Jesus turned the other cheek. Well, he did, but here he didn't, did he? He, in other words, not from an ignorant standpoint, he didn't revile anybody or anything, but he told them, hey, you didn't do what was right. I haven't done anything wrong. Now, we want to look at Mark. We're going to look at John the Baptist. Because, see, people get on the ditch on either side on this stuff. And we have to, you know, I think in the thing, three things we're using here are three different circumstances of three different things where somebody said something or somebody acted in return. And Paul made a remark that he should not have made. And Jesus did not make any kind of remark. Jesus spoke justly. And now we're going to look at John the Baptist in Mark the 6th chapter. In Mark the 6th chapter, we're going to, this is about dealing with Herod. John's made a remark about Herod. In verse 17, says Herod, he said, for Herod himself had sent and laid hold of John, this is John the Baptist, and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias. Now he did this for his wife, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. Because why? Verse 18, for John had said to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. It's not a lawful thing. Therefore, Herodias, this is the wife, held it against him and wanted to kill him, but she could not. But so we see he did this because she was mad about it, what was said. One of the things we want to look at, John didn't go to him and making accusation just from a public standpoint. He went and told Herod himself. See, you know, it's one thing is people need to be careful on what the statements that they make out about a ruler doing something wrong. Now, we're dealing here. He's making a statement because, number one, John is in a place of authority. He's a prophet in Israel and the people know it. And he has a responsibility to God. He goes, tells Herod. Isn't that what? Herod is breaking the law. And he's breaking the law of God. He's breaking a spiritual law. And he told him, what you're doing is an illegal thing. You took your brother's wife and married her. And he said, that ain't right. And according to the law, that wasn't right to do. She couldn't just, you know, leave her and marry him and do that. And he did it. And he told him about it. It's not right you do that kind of thing. It's one of the things that we have today. You know, people either get really angry and say ugly things about leaders, or they will say nothing about the lawlessness and the evil that they do and don't say anything about it. You can say it in a right way. You can tell people, you know, you're doing a little illegal thing. You're doing the wrong thing. It's like we have in Congress, we have men in Congress who claim to be Christians. and they do wrong things according to the Word of God. And I don't care what the law says they can do. They're doing things against Scripture that is wrong and evil. And you know what? The church has the authority to tell them. The church has the authority to tell them that they're out of line. But today we don't use that. We don't use it at all. The church sits around, why? Because, well, by words, we might lose our tax-exempt status. And maybe we won't make as much money as we've been making. They're as bad as the guys. They won't say anything. Say, look, this stuff is wrong. This is not right. This is the Word of God says this. Because we have to deal in the area of authority. He wasn't being ugly to anybody. He wasn't being ugly. He just told John, it's not legal that you do this. This is not lawful that you do this thing. You don't do this. So he's calling a leader on something. Now, do you notice, he only arrested John on behalf of his wife. He didn't arrest her on behalf of him. You know, here he is. He's going to please his wife. The same Herod ends up dying, smoted by an angel of God. The devil didn't kill him. God did. An angel of the Lord, the Bible says, killed him. Gee, but I didn't think God did that. Well, the Bible is different than it's preached. But he went too far. He did to John, and then he turned around and killed James, and that was the last of that number. He died. But we see three circumstances, and we got to look at it for what each of them are. Now, I know people who have made statements about leaders and things that they've done, and they've used this thing here, but they didn't tell the leader. They're just blabbing out to everybody else. You know, go tell the leader. John didn't go blab to everybody else. He went and told Herod himself that it wasn't right to do. And so he wasn't acting outside of the line of authority. And he was in a place of authority to do what he did. And he did it. So that's why there has to be balance. There's one thing is, you know, I would surely think that you would want to be led by the Spirit of God. You go tell a leader something. I'd sure think you'd want to know that, you know, you're the one supposed to do it. You may know something needs to be said, but sometimes maybe you're not the one to say it. Maybe it'd be better if it came from somebody else or something else or somebody, you know. But if God leads you to do it, well, then go at it. But we need to be careful in what we do or why we say what we say. Paul didn't justify, even though he was accurate about what he said about the guy. It wasn't a matter of his accuracy. He was not allowed to, he said, what the Scripture says, don't do. Well, I shouldn't have done that. In other words, that he's right. If that guy's in that position, and my leader, I shouldn't have said that. And so, but we have too, we have the, where Paul turned around and rebuked Peter, Peter was hooked up with Paul and them and turned around and started, he got afraid of the Jews that came along and turned around and started separating himself from the Gentiles, hooking up with the Jews. And he was rebuked by Paul. Paul rebuked him about it, but Paul rebuked him. He didn't go around and complain to everybody else about what Peter was doing. He went to Peter and told him. You know. And Scripture tells us this. Jesus said, if you have something against your brother, you go tell your brother. If you have an ought against your brother, you go talk to him. Then it says, if the person, he's done something against you and he don't want to straighten it out, then you go to some leaders about it. And over the years, I've always done that. I've had people send, back years ago, I had to correct some individuals over it because they were going around complaining to other people about an individual, but they were not talking to the individual. And I went and told them and said, if you don't go to the individual, I don't want to hear you say anything to anybody else about this, or I'm going to openly rebuke you. It stops. If somebody's done something against you, let's go to them. Well, I know later why they didn't want to go to them, because the other person wasn't all in the wrong. So they were meanwhile trying to get people on their side. And of course, they weren't happy with me. I just told them. I said, this is what the Bible said. You consider you're so spiritual and they're bad, then you should be the one doing what the Word says. But I said, the problem we're dealing with is you're no more spiritual than they are. And that's why the problem's existing. We're dealing with two groups of spiritual babies. Going, wah, 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 wah. Somebody did something against me. I'll get over it. Somebody will do something against you. That's life. If you haven't noticed that, you ain't lived 10 minutes. Hallelujah. Well, so I wanted to put those in there. We didn't talk about those last week, but I wanted to put those in there because it does give us some kind of balance to things. It doesn't mean that person can't say anything. We have the ditch on both sides. Some people say everything. Some people over here, they say, well, when I spoke, I was just speaking the truth. Truth is held to certain guidelines too, you know, of who and what, who should be saying what and who should, you know. And it's just like, you know, people in authority. It's not my job to go over and correct my neighbor's kids unless they come over here and do something, and I can. But when they're over there and operating, that's them. And so you don't go over and do that. You know, that then I'm stepping over bounds. But and then people need to know that. Am I in place of authority to say certain things? Am I in authority to make that judgment? And we have to learn those areas. And it's like we talked, this is all to be grown into. You know, this is all you learn over time. Nobody knows. And Keith Moore, in his teaching us, he said that there was really three main reasons why he said people don't submit to authority. And the first one he said was lack of knowledge. And that's probably, people aren't taught about it or how to do it or what they do today. You know, we were taught more about respect to people as kids growing up than people do today, generally. When I grew up to that stuff, I mean, there was our elders or older people like your aunts and uncles, how you conduct yourself toward the relatives, you know, and that stuff. You know, it wasn't wrong with the fact, you know, that the children just didn't come and we just didn't come and run and take over the house and and that stuff. And lots of times, you know, when we kids, we would go to a relative's house, the kids all went outside and played and you'd in there and the elders would sit inside and talk with each other and things and stuff like that. But you just didn't go make ruckuses and stuff and things like that. But they taught respect and you had respect toward them. It doesn't mean you agreed or thought they were the nicest people in the world. I mean, my grandma, growing up, man, she's a hard lady. God, on my dad's side, she was a tough old bird. And she wasn't very nice at all. I don't ever remember being nice at all, you know, as a kid growing up. Man, your grandma, that was just grandma. But, you know, you didn't go and treat my grandma nasty. You'd have never got away with that. Even my dad, you know, her and even my grandpa couldn't stand to be around her half the time. But nonetheless, you didn't go do that stuff. And they needed to deal with something. They dealt with it, grandma, not us. And so you had a respect that you showed toward grandpa, and you let a higher authority deal with things. Because if you did, you'd have got whooped. Wasn't a matter whether you were right in what you said. It's a matter that wasn't your place to say it. And people don't do that today. We've lost those things, and that's why that is part of what we're dealing with right now today. And all these extreme groups and that stuff that rise up and doing all this stuff, it's because you go back, nobody's taught it. I'm free, I can do what I want. No, we weren't free. I grew up, nobody had that freedom. We none of us had that. And people that did that kind of stuff were outcasts of society. Society didn't want to have nothing to do with people who did stuff like that. They weren't welcomed into it. You know? Like you say, you know, Randall Greer used to say, well, he said, my granny used to tell us, he said, don't give everybody a piece of your mind. You might need all you can get. Well, that's a good thing. But lots of times we're dealing with lack of knowledge, and that comes really, a lot of it starts from the areas of childhood. It is hard to teach somebody submission after they have gone through their life and in through and have grown up pretty much and have not been taught it. It's very hard to teach them. It's very hard to teach them discipline. That's where one of the things is, even from like military and stuff today, it's a very hard time. As people come in the military, they've already grown up without submission. And they don't know what it means. So like, to me, the military was very easy. We had, most guys, it wasn't, you know, even though you didn't like stuff you had to do, but you knew you submitted. When I was in the service, when you had the guys on the sidelines who were, and they were the minority who were the rebellious ones who did that. And they were very much of a minority of guys that were like that. And you know what? Most everybody didn't care for them. Even though we didn't like the stuff we had to do, we didn't like them. because they were all, it was just always trouble. It was always, they were had something gone that was always bringing everybody some trouble. And it and what they used to do to curtail it was this: whatever those guys did in punishment, they punished everybody for it. And the reason they would do that, they would want everybody in the group to hate them and correct it. Because you've got to live with those guys. And they, and after a while, you'd have guys and that stuff. They used to give, every once in a while, you'd have somebody they call a blanket party. In the middle of the night, they'd go over and dump blankets over them, they'd all join in and just pound the guy under the blanket. And he wakes up in the morning with a, from a, an unconscious state. His whole life has changed. We get in trouble one more time because of you, you ain't going to live the next time, Tripper. It's amazing how submissive they got. Things like that used to go on. Things like that went on. They did that to people, you know. That's caused problems. Everybody got in trouble. And you didn't want to be that guy. It was repent quick and get yourself straightened out. People are going to visit you in your sleep. It's hard to stay awake all the time. I don't know about you. After a whole day you're doing your calisthenics, marching in the field, that stuff, you can't go home and keep your eyes open. But anyhow, they would work. But people, it's hard to learn if you haven't been. And that's what we're dealing with today in schools. I remember this back some years back when after we came back and our kids were older in school, like in high school and stuff. But I remember some of the teachers, like Wanda had worked with over the years, like in the school when she came back, she got a job in at the school and was working in the Lebanon School District. And I remember one first grade teacher saying, you know, she said years ago, she said coming into school, we were, you know, as kids come to school and she said started first grade, we were teaching them subjects and doing things. She said, that's not what we do today. She said, we spend the first grade year trying to get kids not to stand on top of their desk, not to make, she said, we're dealing with all behavioral stuff. She said, it's hard to teach. Because you're teaching, in other words, they've never been taught submission at home. They've never been taught obedience. In other words, they don't know. It's lack of knowledge. The child don't know. Well, he's never been taught it at home. So they don't know. They don't know about this. And I found this out. Even sometimes you get into the more educated people. They're worse than a bunch. They have never been taught. They think education's the answer to the earth. Obedience is the answer to the earth. It's the answer to America's problems is obedience. It is education don't teach obedience. It don't teach submission. It teach, you're so smart, you don't need to listen to anybody. I'm a genius. But it's learning these things, and that's what, the lack of knowledge. And, you know, my parents were not educated people, but I'll tell you what, they put some life-saving information into my life by teaching us about doing what's right to do. And that's why, you know, really, and if you've had that in your life, you know, I mean, years ago when I was growing up, even the sinners did a better job of raising their children than the saints do today. They did a better job because they wouldn't allow their children to do things. You know, the average kid in school that I was in school with wouldn't come from a Christian family. They all, everybody was supposed to be a Christian. Even they went to churches, most of them weren't Christian. They went to churches. But, you know, there were standards that were set. I mean, you got paddled in school. You didn't run home and cry to mom and dad about that. Poor teacher beat you. Dear Lord, you wouldn't want that. And number one, you'd have, if your mom and dad would have showed up in school about it, the rest of the kids would have ridiculed you so bad. They talk about bullying. There's bullying today. My words, bullying. They don't even know what bullying is today. Only when they said something bad about me. Dear Lord, in school. Bullying. But I'm just going to tell you, it's all these wimpy kids. They have been, the child never learns to put up. We're going to talk about these things because the kids never learn they're not taught by their parents how to stand up for themselves, how to not, and their whole ego, their whole life is everybody has to like me, I'm wonderful, I'm great, everybody's going to love me, Baba, get over it. It ain't happening out there. I mean, the people who are fighting over the bullying thing, saying it's so bad, are the worst of the bunch of ridiculing everybody else. It's a weird society. So the stuff's not taught and everything's gotten weird. It's not been taught. And so it's not taught by youth. And now we have the parents who came up with youth not being taught it. They're producing children, and the next generation will always be worse than that generation. And here we are. It's grand. I know. Keith Moore made this statement about, he said the three things. He said the other one is lack of faith. So this speaks specifically in the areas to Christians, because it deals in lack of faith, because it deals in a trust issue with God, that God will take care of you. That it isn't, you know, there's some things that you can't personally do a thing about. You have to trust God. David's a wonderful example of that. He's just going to have to trust God. If David's going to be step into the place of authority, the worst thing he could have ever done was been the killer of Saul. If he would have done that, I don't think he would have ever had the following of the people like he had the following of the people. I mean, David just, you know, in that action. And it's like, you know, God will take care of me. You know, as Keith Moore knows, he taught, you know, some of these things pretty extensively to us. But the areas into trusting is learning to trust him to take care of. There's things about the government, I don't care what we do. We can't, but we're just going to have to trust God. All this nonsense going on out there, no matter what, we're going to trust God concerning our lives, concerning our families. If God ain't big enough to take care of any of this stuff, we're in trouble. Because we can't take care of everything. There's things that we can do, maybe God tells us to do, but it comes down to a trust issue. And we're going to have to learn to just trust God in this thing and yield ourselves to God and say, God, look, we're dealing with these things and we're going to have to put some of this stuff in your hands. You're going to have to make this thing work. You know, I didn't have an army chasing me around trying to kill me, per se, just focused on Ed Gibson. David did. David had an entire army focused on killing him. And he was on the run for years. I mean, on the run. His own country and things. And he's on the run. And he had to trust God to take care of him. I ain't never had it quite that bad. But it worked out. You know, and as we go on to teach on some of these things, we'll see why one of the ones is dealing in these areas, because dealing in areas of submission is a difficult thing to do. It's not an easy thing to do. And this is one thing is why we don't see as much of it today, is because it's not easy to do. It takes work to learn to do it. And we'll look at those things. And it gets so many areas. Just learn to trust God with your life and with yourself, with your job and with money and whatever else. Learn to trust God. You know, hey, God, you said in your word, you do this. You look after us. You said in your word, you do it. Well, then we're going to expect you to do that. This is what you're going to have to carry that out, because I don't know anything else to do about it. So you have to look after me. And we can go and trust you in it. Leaders might be messed up. The leaders might be wrong. Well, we can trust you. And the final one is an area which we'll get in probably into more detail later on, but is dealing in the areas of pride. We're going to get into more of that. But what happens is we have to watch is pride can be a very big thing is why people don't submit. And really, the destruction of Satan's fall was based on his pride. Satan didn't yield to authority. I can do what God does. We don't need him. I can do it. And we have today, people act like they don't need authorities over them. I don't. I can take care of myself. I can do it myself. We go in the church world, it's full of it. I don't need to go to church. I'm a Christian. I don't go to church. Man, over the years, got so many calls. People don't go to church. I'm a Christian. I don't go to church. No authority. Nobody else has authority over me. Just me and God. And I always tell them, say, when you need money, ask God. Quit ask calling us. It's just you and God. You don't need God. You don't need the rest of us. Well, you're a liar. You wouldn't be calling me if you believed that. Because you ain't got 2 ounces of faith toward God. You're calling me because you don't. It ain't just you and God. There is authority. But people don't submit in authority to the church and what the Word says about they're supposed to do in their Christian life. They don't submit to it. And it's because of pride. I want to run my own life. Well, hey, God gives you that right. But don't expect other people to submit to you when you want. They're not going to do that. And it all comes down to pride. It's pride that people do that kind of stuff. I'm doing it on my own. Well, that'd be nice. But we'll deal with the areas of some things and later on as Scripture is dealing with the areas of pride with people, because we have to, it's good when we look at it, because it makes us examine ourselves in areas of our lives and that stuff. And the Scripture talks about it, so I guess we should talk about those things. Scripture mentions it. But we're going to deal, and we're going to talk about this, because submission, it must be worked at. And really, it is a work. Keith Moore said this, and he's right. Submission does not come naturally. It doesn't. I mean, it's not a natural thing. It's something that must be trained and taught in, you know. Submission's not like, you know, you're born as a human being and you're in your body within your brain, has part of your brain that automatically operates and works the heart, and the heart beats. And you breathe, you don't think about, I have to breathe. In, out. In, out. Heartbeat, heartbeat. In, out. You don't do that. It's part of the brain. Well, submission's not like that. You know, there's things that you have to be taught and trained in, you know. And that's one of them, submission is. And submission is, I would think, probably one of the most difficult of things that anybody could do, is in that area, the difficulty. Submission. So, because a person can literally do this. A person could literally, at one minute, yield to God, and another, yield to the devil. You could. Well, you have to be trained. Understand that. You have to be trained to do it. It doesn't come naturally, you know. And it's dealing over the areas. And what we talk about is where the place is easiest to start is in the childhood area. That's the easiest part to start to be taught submission and authority. That is the easiest place that can take place in. It's much easier then than it is when somebody grows up and been trained in another way. It's hard to get them to go back. I mean, Kenneth Hagin literally talked these things. Kenneth Hagin literally talked stuff. And the authority. Kenneth Hagin said to us, he would talk to us in school, and I heard him say the others. He said, teaching, he said, in the church, he says it's much easier to teach younger people than older people. He said, older people, he said, I'm just going to tell you. He said, the older people in your church, he said, you know, are a lot of them are just going to stay in the way that they're going. And, they're going to, and I found out over the years that many, now, that's not everybody. You find people who are teachable, but many old people, as they get older, become unteachable. They get to the point and think, well, they know. Well, I've been a Christian longer than you. That means nothing, man. I've seen people 10 minutes as a Christian knew more than they did. You get ones like that, but they'll just stay on their own path, and they won't change. It is easier dealing with somebody who hasn't been ingrained in the wrong things to get a hold of. It's just like you find people have been ingrained in years in religion. It is very hard to deal with them because you're trying to get them to unlearn. They have accepted certain things as being true, whether they are or not, and whether you can show them in the Bible, but they'll say, "Well, I believe it's this way." We have this one scripture that we got, and they'll just hang on that. And but raising children, and I want to talk about this, you know, is because we get to take people listen to it, but as too as you can, it helps people in helping people. Because this stuff needs to be, especially today, needs to be taught in these areas. I remember Keith Moore teaching it, you know, at Rhema. I know you had some students didn't like it because they considered it meddling because they didn't do concerning their children. he didn't like it. But he said this, and he's right. He said, you're going to have to admit the fact that your children sometimes yield to the devil. You're going to have to admit that. Your kids yield to the devil. Well, what do we do with this thing? Because it is, and you know, we have today is like people don't almost. I'm really amazed. That like you know, they don't want to admit their kid done wrong. They don't want to admit their. You know, it gets over to things as, and I think some people, from the standpoint of ignorance, they don't know why their kid's doing wrong. You know, because people's religious beliefs today are so messed up. They don't believe in the devil. You know, my kid yielded. I know Christians. If you told them their child yielded to the devil in something, they wouldn't believe you at all. Oh, child, don't reel the devil. They don't believe no more in the devil. There's a lot of Christian insanity out here. Loads of Christian. And I'm talking about over the spirit-filled side. There's loads of insane people. have no idea about things. And Keith said this here, and I thought it was a good statement. He said, don't let the devil wear you out raising your children. Because he can. If things are not done right. You know, it's one thing, and I've always looked at the areas of, it's like Mennonites and stuff and different ones. I got the way that they raise their children. You know, their five kids won't wear you out as quick as somebody else's one kid. Because of the way their children are raised. And, you know, people get all worn out raising their kids. Well, oh, how on earth do you raise one of my men? My dad came from a family of 17. You know, I came from a family, there was 10 kids. My one sister died very young, but there was 9 of us growing up and that stuff. But I'm going to tell you what, my parents didn't have the problems people have today with 1 or 2 kids. Was number one, we did have some authority in the house and everybody knew it. Today, there's no authority. The kids rule and reign. Today, once children come on, there's no more marriage in the home. The wife is 100% dedicated to the children. And the husband no longer exists. And her whole life is given to the children. And she never, her husband, he's a second-class citizen in the house. People might not like it. That's exactly what's going on today. I wonder why a lot of husbands leave. I can tell you why a lot of husbands leave. And the Bible talks about it. The Bible talks about it. It talks about who's at fault. You know, the partner that doesn't submit's in fault. Of why the other one left. They ain't going to stand before Jesus and say, oh, he left me for another woman. Say, yeah, well, he didn't have, Jesus is going to say, yeah, well, he didn't have a wife. You're at fault for that. You ran him out. See, it's one thing you can't, people have to learn and can't do. Because this is what starts, when one's getting rebellion in the family, the children follow suit. Just as she has not submitted to authority, the children won't submit, and they'll run her and they'll be her authority. It doesn't work, and people need to understand it. We have so much of the world in the church today, and even in the Spirit-filled church, is taught. And child rearing is totally out of line. Marriage, totally out of line, not biblical. Things aren't taught. You can't keep order without staying in line to somewhere with authority. You have to. It ruins it for everybody down the line. It ruins it for everyone. There has to be. And it's important in these things. You know, why does it be like rulers is a bully, but somebody, there has to be ways that things are run. The children cannot be on the level of a parent and authority in the home. They can't do it. Because I'm going to tell you what, you'll never live in sanity in that home. It'll never happen. It never will. It's impossible. You can't train a child when they rule. You can't do it. And man, they do that today. So at times a child will rule the devil, but a child must learn, and really submission, but a child must be made to submit. See, it's one thing, it's like the training in the military. When I was in the military, it's totally different today, because now we have the leaders in the military have come out of the families that raised the kids with not submitting. When I was in the military, you were made to submit. If you didn't submit, life was hell. What was it? They were training you submission. Do you know what? They weren't training you submission because they were mean to us. They were going to keep us alive by teaching us submission. And I thought they did it. They just didn't like us. And these guys, I used to think, man, somebody's sergeant, they get up in the morning thinking of things to do to make my life miserable. But you know what? When I got to Vietnam, I found out, nope, it was the North Vietnamese that were staying up at night thinking of ways to make my life miserable. It wasn't my sergeants. They taught me to stay alive. See, I grew up a little bit when I really got into life. We had some guys that never learned it, and life didn't go well for them. This is one of the things that you have a lot of messed up guys like coming in the military, just like Vietnam, these messed up guys. These were guys who wouldn't yield submission. And so they end up in messed up lives. Lots of messed up lives, but is why they didn't, always in rebellion to things. And they're in rebellion this day. They'll walk around, my God, running these guys and they're my age and they still straggly looking long hair and they're still playing in the hippie movement, you know, and they're still doing their thing and I see them around and it's like, give me a break, you idiot. Get a life. You're still 15 and wondering why life ain't, you know, well, you're mentally, you even reach 15 yet. Walking around looking like a, you know, what on earth? Look like he crawled out from a rock somewhere. And go put on a military uniform and go to things that are Vietnam vet things. You know, I'm going to tell you what, they have these Vietnam vet things that I get invited to by congressmen and all this stuff. And I don't go to none of them because I'm not standing with those people. I'm not crawling up there. I don't want to be identified with that. That wasn't the military I was in. I don't care if they went through Vietnam. They didn't learn a thing. I'm not standing with those people and that junk. That isn't what we do. Because no discipline. Hate to think that's what our military stands for. You know, we need to do this. One of the things, sometimes with a child, or even a person that you have to deal with, sometimes people can be communicated to them things about submission, and they'll receive it. In children especially, sometimes there's things you could communicate to them. But if they don't listen to the communication, then they're going to have to be punished. Communication don't get it to them. One of the great problems we have today, I see it in the whole system of government and everything, of, oh, you just got to talk it all out. We're just going to always negotiations. And you're going, no, I'm sorry, there's people you'll never negotiate with. People you'll never sit down and talk with. There's people got to be punished. If they don't submit to something, you just don't. And it's children. Children don't get it on the communication. If they don't understand what no means, then they need to punish to find out what no means. And if you don't do it, if it's not done, it is going to really cause, it's just going to be problems, you know. People just don't get it. We have the idea today is punishment is a bad thing. The Bible totally 100% disagrees with that. God don't agree with that at all. He's not going to agree with that at all. There's things of punishment. We'll talk later on about those things. But one of the things we have talks about Jesus in Hebrews, this fifth chapter. And this is a part that people really don't care for about submission, but we find here with Jesus in the fifth chapter, Hebrews says about him in the fifth chapter, speaks of Jesus. The Apostle Paul wrote this, starting at verse 7 in the fifth chapter. He said, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fear, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Now listen to that. Do you hear that? Jesus, what did he did? He learned obedience through suffering. You know, as in the military, that's how we learn obedience, through suffering. We learn, you know, and it wasn't, now think about this. This isn't what they were trying to find ways to hurt us. But they would run you through certain trainings that they would do to you, things that the enemy would do to you, so you learn how to react and teach you how to react in those situations. And they weren't fun things to do. You suffered things to learn how to deal with things. We have to understand this. So Jesus is crying out in the garden. He wasn't crying out in Gethsemane because, oh, you know, things, well, I'm good, I'm just God. He's crying out, why? Because over submission, submitting to the will of God. His cry, his flesh was like your flesh. He didn't want to do it. He's crying out about getting his flesh into submission to what God's will was. It was a hard thing. And we have to come to that conclusion that sometimes, he said, he didn't want to have the sin of humanity put on him in the separation from God. He didn't want that. And he worked as hard as he did. He said he worked as hard as he did to resist the sin of disobedience. That's why he was praying to God. He wanted to resist the sin of disobedience. That's what he was looking to do. He was praying in the garden. He looked, I want to do the will of God, but man, in the inside, but my flesh is saying something else to me. So in order to submit, we'll have to, many times what we have to do is crucify the flesh. And that is dealing with suffering. That's does with suffering, is crucifying the flesh. Don't allowing the flesh to go carry itself out like it wants to. You know, I remember when they we'd run through the gas training in the service and that stuff, and it was no fun going out there in the field and you're crawling around in the bush and you're crawling around and all this stuff and you're sweating. You got all this gear on, you got your weapons, you got all this gear, and you're sweating out there, and it's summertime. And they have you dressed and stuff like it ain't summertime. But, you know, you get in jungle areas, you don't walk around in a bathing suit. and you got combat boots on, you're out there, you got your gear and all your weapons and everything, and you got all this extra weight on you, and you got a helmet on you, and you're crawling around. And they have things going off around you and doing stuff, and then some maniac shoots CS gas on you. And sweat and CS gas ain't fun. Oh my word! It compounds. CS gas will give you a burning in the skin, but when you sweat, it's worse, and you get this burning in your skin. Now you can't just stop and take a shower. You got to carry your mission out. Number one, your work you got to get while you're all this is going off. You're gagging, so you're holding your breath because you don't want to breathe this stuff in because it'll have you. Your eyes are watering and tearing like crazy, and you're getting your gas mask out, and then. You have to take the oxygen that's in you when you put the mask on and put your hands over the breather things and blow out. Because when you put your gas on, there's gas inside the mask because you just opened it up and put it on your face. And you want to blow, you don't breathe that in. You want to blow it out. And then you blow it out so you breathe in. You're not breathing in gas. Meanwhile, your skin's a burning. Every place it gets down on a collar or a cuff and it's rubbing. It's worse yet. There's water running out of your eyes like you just bawling like crazy. You're trying to see. And they're playing war games. And so what you have to do is do all that, but you got to complete your mission, whatever it is to do. That's what you got to do. And so you can't let the flesh, what you feel, what you see, you can't let it die. You got to stay on track. And one of the things it is, when you first go into training, they don't do that stuff to you right away. Why? Because you'd never survive that. If they took you in and did it right away, you'd run off. Your flesh would dominate. They teach you all this time to submit to them. And that's the whole point of all that other stuff that they do, you think is torment and making you do things. Forcing you to do stuff beyond what normally people do. And they force you beyond it. And you think the whole time it's bad. But when you get into those conditions, you find out, we wouldn't have been trained for this. We'd never be able to carry it out. We hadn't been forced beyond what we could regularly do. We would never do these things. So they force you beyond. In other words, they were training you. It wasn't just submission to them. It was submission to the situation that you're in to do the right thing. In that situation. That's what they're training you for. So when you actually got into combat condition, you didn't become a nut. You weren't one of the people that stood up and got shot. Oh my God! And stood up, did something dumb, and ended up dead, killing other people. they did all those things, which seemed to be, but that whole point was teaching you submission to when you came into battle, you would follow your training. You'd do it. This is what we need to do to complete this mission, and you don't act out and do something else. And when I got to Vietnam, I really found out, yeah, that's what they wanted you to do. And it was right to teach you, is teach you not to panic in a situation, that you're training and stuff. Because the flesh, if you don't bring it under control, it will panic and do things. It will do stuff. It will look at what it sees and feels, and it will go nuts. It'll take what it feels. It'll carry it out. I'm in discomfort. I don't like to be in discomfort. Yeah, I don't either. But there's time your discomfort just has to be brought under submission, and you have to yield to it. And they would teach you, and that's one thing. If a person never learns that, when serious situations in life come, that's why people are terrible at decision-making in bad situations, is because they have never learned the things of submission through suffering, the things that you suffer. So really, they had us suffer things, and they taught us those suffering things were not to harm us. It's so we could end up being obedient and carry out the will, their will of what they wanted to carry out and do. And if you did what they willed you to do, it turned out better for you too. So they were teaching us those things. And so this is why it's so important. Jesus learned through suffering. He suffered through things. He suffered through stuff. And this is why we need to be careful. It's trying to make life so easy for kids and trying to, our kids don't have to face anything. That was the greatest problem that the Second World War people, who suffered greatly and did a great job of it in the military and things that they did, but came home and said they didn't want their kids to go through what they went through, and started a generation who didn't understand what it was to have to suffer some things, because they started, and that generation did it more to their kids, and they passed that down the line. And what was is, how can we do this? Nobody suffers. And so now we have people today that want to live in a world where there's no suffering. You have to suffer through anything. It is totally 100% ridiculous to think that you're going to have that. So you have generations of people that can't handle any discomfort. A society can't survive. If a third world war started, anybody lands in America, the Americans will go under. They can't survive it. They can't stand it. They don't get three meals a day, it'll kill them. You know, they don't get to sleep on their, you know, foam bed thing, whatever, you know, fit your curves. They can't stand it. It's irrational, you know. My phone don't work. That's just crazy. I mean, we go nuts. My phone don't work, my life's gone. I just read a thing where they tried to get a guy, lost his phone, tried to commit suicide, lost his phone. Lost his iPhone. He only commits suicide. I thought he'd been glad to get rid of an iPhone. Just kidding. No, but see, can you imagine? Do you know what? That might seem funny to us. Funny, I'll tell you what. You would be how many people out here? If you shut all the phones off today, you think these groups out here demonstrating around you, you ain't seen nothing. You ain't seen nothing. Most kids couldn't go to school. I mean, my phone lost life's ends. There's no point in education anymore. School stops. It's done. Life's too much to bear. Can't take it. But we realize there's things that we suffer, and when people are taught how that they, through suffering, people are taught discipline, and people learn how to live through situations and come out the better for it, come out on the top of it. And this is why, you know, it's one thing is God leads us into things. You know, it's when I didn't understand as a young Christian why the Lord put me in the first church that He put me into when He told me to go to this one church to help Him out. And I couldn't understand why God would put me in that. But I learned a lot through the things I suffered. I found it wasn't easy among Christians. It wasn't easy to follow God because, man, people are going another direction. And no matter if you're right, and no matter if you know the right thing to do, and you have opposition, but and through that thing, the Lord taught me about the things of what my job was to do, and don't let the people that are going a different way, don't let that throw you in life, and don't let that you just keep doing what you need to do, even though they criticized you for it and they talked to you about it and they didn't like what you did, but you learned over time. You just learned by the things that you suffered. And the Lord, one of the things he did do was take my military training and taught me through my military training. He specifically spoke to me about, when I was in the military, about the things they trained me to do, is learn how to be like that. Paul said, learn to be a good soldier. Well, a good soldier is disciplined. And a good soldier knows how to suffer and keep going. It's a good soldier. A soldier that can't suffer and keep going is not a good soldier. And that's one of the problems we face in our society today with these things, is lack of these areas of discipline in these areas. It all deals with downing. Is the greatest thing that you're, we'll end today on this, we'll pick it up later next week. But the greatest thing that you're going to deal with in the areas of submission is dealing with your own flesh. That's the hardest thing. Because if you ever look at most of the time people's lack of submission, it comes down to our flesh. It's our physical response to problems. Or we let the flesh carry things out rather than dealing with them. And we let our flesh do things, and then we're sorry for it. I wish I wouldn't have done that. You ever been there? If you haven't been there, you probably haven't breathed in 10 years. If you're breathing, you've been there. And we do that. But understand this again, though. This is a thing we work through. And nobody learns it in everything. Just think about Jesus. Jesus, in his manhood, had to learn suffering things. Because there's things that you're not going to, as a child, learn about the areas of suffering. You ain't going to take a 5-year-old and put him in the military and teach them about those things. I mean, you're just, there's things they'll never learn them from themselves, that they'll never learn, because it's maturity level. And it is just things that you learn. And understand, you're going to, you arise as a level you go along in life. And there's things that I had to learn later on as going on. There's things that the Lord couldn't have taught me about submission in certain areas till I got into situations. It wouldn't have made sense to me, certain things, or how do I react in certain situations. And just like with the military, until they taught us certain things, they didn't put us in certain situations to teach us. They taught us the other stuff first. They taught us about CS gas in a controlled situation. They would walk you inside a chamber, and they would walk you inside, and the first that they would teach you was they would walk you inside the chamber with a gas mask on. In the chamber has gas in it. And they would have you take your gas off. They'd say, now take a deep breath, take your gas mask off, and then you would feel what it feels like with the gas, and your eyes would start to water something. Hold your breath, don't breathe. You'd always get an idiot that would breathe. And they would drag him out. He'd be coughing and gagging and puking. And hold your breath. And then they'd say, put your mask on. Put your hands on the exhaust filters. You put them on the side. Blow out. And you blow out through the main filter. Blow out. And okay, now breathe. And they took you through that. So they trained you. Then they trained you later to take you into one without it on. So you held your breath, went into a place, they'd have you stand there. You felt like you just needed to breathe. Put your gas mask on and then go through it. And they would do that to you. See, there you go. You got your training. Then they'd take you out in the field with you not knowing it, hit you with it. Now you got to do it. But they taught us what it was like. And they took us down. That would have been a mess. People would have been running over each other trying to get away. And And you can't run away from it. It gets old. You got to run far. But so they teach you. And so unless you got into the situations, you wouldn't know. And so they didn't teach you. And understand that about life. Understand that about life. So it's a learning experience. So don't get into condemnation to yourself. Learn through it. You learn through your situations. And that's some things I've learned by doing it badly. And I learned, boy, we don't want to do that the next time.
It doesn't want to do that one. Oh, man, he did it, didn't he? Oh, yeah, 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 it did it now. So we got to fix that. Mark that one down. We won't do that the next time, okay? Just causes too much trouble for me. And then sometimes you'll learn in situations where you've done all the right things and still things don't go right. But you've done what's right. People may not like it. Things may go, but you're doing what's right. And so it's all a learning process. So don't get into condemnation on the stuff. And, you know, it's just like people, I've had a person here not long ago. I mean, they just did a terrible job about raising a child in an area. And as they got older, they just did terrible about what they did. And it's just out of hand. It's one of those things you ain't going to put back in the box. And but I told them, you know, don't live under condemnation of it. If you were to do it, made the mistakes of the past. Learn from your mistakes and start changing what you do. But if you get into condemnation, nothing will ever change. You'll end up living in the same junk, and you'll just, you know, well, I just messed all up, and I just, and, you know. Because we need to understand this about children. Children get, they have a free will. They can decide to not listen. It isn't just, you know, sometimes people say, well, my child won't listen. There's things you can do when they're little, but as they get older, there's things that, and they have a choice. And you know, but you have to learn to let them. When they get to that point, you have to learn to let them live with their choice and not try to fix it for them. Nobody ever does that. And so, if a person messed up, well, then learn from your mistakes and just don't do that to your grandchildren. I don't like to hear these people, they use it. Well, yeah, I get the grandkids. Yeah, we can get them and spoil them and just send them home. And they... Well, my mother-in-law tried that one time and said she didn't have to, and I just looked at her and told her, you won't see them again if you're going to do this. You don't do things against our will concerning the child. I think you can just go ahead and do it. Well, Grandma lets me do it. I said, it's very simple. You won't see them. It's running Braden. If they treat certain things to be done certain ways, when we have them, that's the way it's done. I don't care if I specifically agree with it. They go, oh, that ain't my call. That's their child. They say no, it's no. And they go, oh, she's grandma's house. You don't have to do that. No, grandma's house is the same way. Why? I can't go to go away. They have an authority. If they do have authority, not let me see them. See, a lot of people ruin it for themselves in life. They play these stupid games. Play stupid. They don't play stupid games. They have a position of authority that I don't have over him. I don't have over him. He's not my child. A lot of people don't get that stuff. And what they do is they usurp authority. And I'll tell you one thing. I watch grandparents. I tell you, there's grandparents that have messed up lives and have led messed up health. It's because of what they do. They keep usurping authority concerning their grandkids and doing things that ain't right. And they open the door to the devil to attack them. They're disobedience. You don't do that stuff. You don't overtake somebody else's authority. It's not a good thing to do. It's in their control. You know, that's theirs. And in life, you just got to learn that. We have it through everything, you know. Just whether you're supervision on a job or whatever like that, you have the people that are under you. You don't tell the guy in the other department what his people are supposed to do. That's not your department. You don't. I don't have authority on that. I may not like it, but I don't have authority. They work for me. That's another story. They're over there on that side. They're his. And people have to learn that. People get over and say, well, I don't understand why they're allowed to do that. You know why? Because I ain't their boss. If I was, they wouldn't be doing that. But I'm not. But when you work for me, this is what we do. You don't like it? Yeah, if you have a chance, you can go work for them. Go work for them if you think that's wonderful over there. I've had people do that at Reese's and went to other departments because they thought, oh, we were too strict in our department. They got over there working with all those people and how messed up it got because nobody's following any rules. And after a while, they come back and say, we like it here. Yeah. Because you're over there and everything's a mess. And just you thought that was fun. That ain't fun no more. I always like a little bit of order. Things always go a little better. Praise God. We'll close there, Father. We just want to thank you today for opening the eyes of our understanding and lighting us in these things. And Father, everybody needs encouragement.
Lord God, in these areas, and Lord, even myself, I know. Hallelujah. And I just want to thank you. Father God, you give us these instructions not to hurt us or harm us, but to help us. And I want to let you know we appreciate that. I appreciate your love and your mercy through us, through Christ Jesus. And Lord God, you're going to help us to walk out these things. Father, I pray for others who hear these things and listen to these things, Father God, that they too, Lord God, hit on this path, Lord God. And Lord, if they missed it, Lord God, that they don't get into condemnation. Father God, that they realize that you're just showing them and direct them in a path and you want them to grow and bless their lives. And you're not criticizing them, Lord God, but you're showing them what is the right thing to do so they can walk in the glory you prepared for them from the foundation of the world. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.